So one morning at the breakfast table, he just announced that he was ready to give his life to Christ. And so he got up from the table and he headed up the stairs to his bedroom. His parents looked at each other. What's this? So they followed him up the stairs after a minute or so, and they expected to find him on his knees praying. And instead, they found him folding his Star Wars pajamas and putting them into his Sesame Street suitcase. And they said, "Ben, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm packing." "Why are you packing?" "To go to heaven." And then they finally got why it was he was so resistant to give his life. He thought that when he did this, he would have to leave his parents and take up residence, literally, with Christ in heaven. She ends her story with this comment, and she says, "We should all possess the faith of little Benjamin. We should have our hearts so fixed on Christ's appearance that the attachments of our earthly life pale in comparison. For as Hebrews says, we are aliens and strangers on earth, longing for a better country, a heavenly one." So today I want to spend just a few minutes exploring the notion of God's harvest, his bringing people together, what's called the Feast of Trumpets, and how that all relates to being in heaven. So let's take a little tour of the scripture. So if you'd get a copy of the Bible, I'd like to just take you to a couple of places, actually more than a couple. Turn first off to the book of Numbers. And that is the fourth book into the Bible. And go to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 10. This is the part of this is in the book of the law, and the book of the law, which is Genesis through Deuteronomy, is really a story. It's not just a compilation of laws. And so where the story is in the book of Numbers, in Genesis, we had the creation, and we had Abraham and the patriarchs, Abraham and his son Isaac and his son Jacob. And then at the beginning of Exodus, we have, strangely enough, the exodus of Israel from Egypt. So it's really the book about Moses, and it starts off with the children of Israel in Egypt, and they come to Mount Sinai in Exodus, and they stay there. They stay there at Mount Sinai through the book of Leviticus, and then finally in the book of Numbers, they leave Sinai, and God takes them up to tell them to enter the promised land, which they do not do. But before they refuse him on this, he gives them this commandment. And he's talking about making trumpets. Verse 10 of chapter 10 in Numbers. "The Lord said to Moses, make two trumpets of hammered silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out." So it was an organizational tool. It was a signal to gather together and to act. Then he goes on in verse 8. "The sons of Aaron and the priests are to blow the trumpets." And they also blew ram's horn trumpets called the shofar. "And this is to be a lasting ordinance for you and the generations to come. When you go into battle, sound a blast on the trumpets." Verse 10. Also, So that was, you know, one line of reasoning why you would have these things. And then he says in verse 10, "Also, at your times of rejoicing, your appointed festivals and new moon feasts, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and they will be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So they were to use trumpet blasts to gather God's people together for action, for battles, for moving out, as they were a huge, huge camp, hundreds of thousands of people. And they were also to remember to rejoice before the Lord by the call of these trumpets. And so the beginning of the feast was to happen after the time after all the crops were gathered in. So basically the year was wrapping up and they would start a new year. That's why in the Jewish community this holiday is called Rosh Hashanah, or the new year. But it starts out as the Feast of Trumpets. Move, if you would, in your scripture to instill in the book of Numbers the chapter 29, and we'll read a short, quick passage that describes the Feast of Trumpets. This holiday is also mentioned in the previous book of Leviticus, but we'll work here today. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 29, on the first day of the seventh month. Now you have to understand that in the Jewish calendar there are several New Years. It's hard to have New Years on the seventh month unless you've got another New Year going, but this is the beginning of the new agricultural new year because we got the crops in, and so now we have to start over with the fields for next time. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpets. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord, offer a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, and seven male lambs, a year old, all without defect. Move down to verse 6. These are in addition to the daily and or the monthly and daily burnt offerings and their grain offerings and drink offerings as specified. They are food offerings presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. And so it's a special offering above and beyond just for the joy of knowing the Lord. And really what it's describing here, as I've said before, is a barbecue. And so that's what we're going to do today. There's meat being prepared downstairs as we speak, and it's going to be great. It's a pleasing aroma that's coming up from the kitchen. And we spent money on it, which they had to do to celebrate before the Lord. If you took a critter out of your herd and butchered it, you were that many critters less wealthy. And so we do the same thing, not because we have to, but because we really want to celebrate before the Lord with joy. It was a command from God on one hand, but as with all commands from God, you and I have a role in that. And our role is whether or not to obey the Lord. And unfortunately, most people choose to not obey the Lord. And so for those who will not obey the Lord, eventually the trumpets will sound out for God's coming judgment. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua, which is about two books ahead. There's Numbers, then Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. And turn to chapter 6. And we're at the story of when they attacked the city of... Find my place here. Jericho, chapter 6, I think we'll start in about verse 2 here. Let me find my place. Yes, verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone go straight in." So the trumpets are sounding and signifying a judgment that is coming. But always with judgment, there is mercy. God does that. And there was mercy even in the story of Jericho. Who were they to look out for and not destroy when they destroyed the city of Jericho? Does anyone remember? Louder. Rahab. Yes, Rahab. She was the one who had hid the spies. And she said, can you save me and my family if I keep the authorities away from you? And so she and her family were saved in the midst of judgment. And that was a picture of Israel then, and it's a picture of us now, those who are in Christ, receiving mercy in the midst of judgment. And so Rahab, who hid the spies, shows up in the Gospel of Matthew in his genealogy. And she is the great, 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 however many greats, grandmother of King David, and then also of Jesus the Messiah. And so she has a place by God's mercy in the Scriptures, a great place. And so it is the trumpet that sounds the coming gathering of God's people and God's judgment and God's mercy. Let's turn now to the New Testament. Let's go all the way to the book of Matthew. That's the first gospel. Now, remember that the New Testament is every bit as Jewish as the Old Testament. The guy who wrote this, Matthew, his name was Levi, and he was a follower of Jesus, and by the time he wrote this, he was likely a pastor. And he wrote down the words of Jesus here in chapter 24 and verse 30. And Jesus talks about what this trumpet is going to mean as we go forward. How is God going to show mercy in the midst of judgments? Matthew 24 and verse 30. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. That's, he's talking about himself. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. It's a reference back to Daniel, just like in the book of Daniel. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man. Why are they going to mourn? Because they didn't obey God concerning the Son of Man. They will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He's not coming this time on the back of a donkey. He's not coming with just his sandals and his robe. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect. His elect, that is, his people, from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. We're going to be summoned by Jesus in the midst of the coming judgment. And that, folks, is a huge act of mercy. He will save his people. We are promised that. And this idea is fleshed out even more. Let's go to our last place in the New Testament we're going to go to, 1 Corinthians, the last chapter in the book, chapter 15. Excuse me, the second last chapter in the book, chapter 15 and verse 51. This is Paul talking about this a little more in detail. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Listen, he says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, that is to say, we will not all die, but we will all be changed, whether we died or did not die, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, when? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It's going to be different. There won't be any, it could mean this, it could mean that. We're going to get it. We're going to see it for what it really is. And then finally, in the very last book of the Bible, in Revelation, it says this in the 11th chapter, that the seventh angel, there have been seven judgments. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And at the very end of that book What does he do with all his people that he gathers up? They have the wedding feast of the Lamb, in which the Lord Jesus is finally reunited with his church, his people, and we will have a great meal together. And so when we have these meals now, it's a little picture of the greatness to come. Back in Matthew's gospel, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, it says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And so we go round this weekly cycle. We gather up every week. Myra asked me a couple of years ago if she could ring the bell before church. And I said, absolutely ring the bell. I want you to wake up the entire neighborhood just to remind them which church they're not coming to this morning. Actually, I hope they would come and share in the Word of God together. Share in the worship of God together. We do this on a weekly cycle, and we do it on an annual cycle. We celebrate the Lord, and especially at the harvest time, we celebrate the harvest that God is bringing in, into which we were brought. We're part of God's harvest. It's a good thing. And God tells us now to remember his past, his present, his future. He created the heavens and the earth, and he came into our life. He was there in the garden with Adam and Eve. Every day he walked with them. He came into our world in the flesh. He let himself be captured in time. He came onto our team. He did stuff for us that we had totally failed at. He won victories that we simply could not win for ourselves. And he is coming again in the future. He might be coming today. I don't know. We don't know. He doesn't want us to know. Because he wants us to live our life every day like he's going to be here this morning. That's what this celebration is about. Thank you, Lord. And so in the meantime, while we're waiting for him to re-enter our lives in a real, direct sort of way, he is in our life in the present. He has left us with his Holy Spirit. And that is not insignificant. He has changed the world through his followers, empowered by his Holy Spirit over the last 2,000 years. He has changed humanity in huge ways. He continues. And in the meanwhile, while we wait for his return, we rejoice. He told us to rejoice. We rejoice in the ongoing harvest, like we're going to do next week again, learning some harvesting practical techniques, if you will. How to share this gospel with other people without worrying yourself to death about it. We rejoice. Jesus said, don't rejoice in the great things you accomplish. Rejoice in what? That your name is written in the book of life. Absolutely. That's worth rejoicing for. So love those who seek God. We're rejoicing that we get people in our lives and they're looking for God, and we get the opportunity to introduce them to the one who saved us. Jesus did this for me. He saved my life. And I would just love to tell you about that. And sometimes people are ready to hear that. Most times they're not. They might push back a little and say, get out of my face. And that's where we just have to say, you know what? Jesus put up with a whole bunch for my sake. He wasn't put off from doing what he needed to do. And so we ought not be put off either. So today, we're going to celebrate. We're going to continue in celebration. We're gonna sing a closing song and give some thanks for the food. And then we're going to go out and share a meal together just because God loves us, just because he has done all this for us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in this harvest. We rejoice in all the things you brought into our lives this year. Thank you for this opportunity to have had an offering today, to put that in. Thank you for the offering boxes that we get to bring back. Just a piece of all the amazing things you've done for us. Thank you that we get to sing your songs. Thank you that we get to hear your word. Thank you that we get to see one another and be blessed by one another. So we ask now that you would continue with us in our joy. Amen.